You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 11 November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Carmen Mpirwani, portfolio manager at Absa, that Vodacom deal, but also that U.S. inflation number. Sean Saunders from UVix, Bitcoin through a million rand. And then Citadel chief economist Martin Ackerman, midterm coming up later this afternoon. Midterm budget coming up later this afternoon. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from Business Day. ICASA's decision to license temporary spectrum, very encouraging, essentially giving companies 5 days to submit applications in the new process. It's a shortcut, but it's a better than nothing shortcut. From CNBC, Elon Musk sells $1.1 billion of Tesla shares. But these were shares he planned to sell in September, so I don't know what's going on. He had that poll. Is Elon Musk just trolling us on Twitter again? Probably. Morning markets, the U.S. was red, S&P off 0.8, NASDAQ down 1.4%. Asia is mixed, as Sydney's off 0.4, Tokyo up 0.75%. Commodities green overnight. Gold, 1853. It hit 1860 as the inflation data came out. Brent coming down a whole bunch, 82.67. Rand a lot weaker, 15.45. Top 40 opening call, green about 90 points higher. That's what, 0.15%. And that is Tencent trades up 1.1% in Hong Kong after modest results yesterday.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Carmen Mpirwani, portfolio manager, Absa Asset Management. Carmen, appreciate the early morning time. Let's touch off on that U.S. inflation. 6.2% in October. Core inflation, 4.6%, which is the highest since 1991. The transitory talk seems to be going out the door a bit. I mean, I'm not sure necessarily we're going to see rushed rate increases, but these inflation numbers in the U.S. are giant.
Morning, Simon. Yes, very, very correct. It seems like on a month-on-month, we up 90 bips in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Consensus was looking for 60 bips, so a big miss in terms of that. And if you compare to the previous month in September, we just had 40 bips month-on-month. So this was largely driven by higher energy prices, number one, as we well know, as well as the supply chain bottleneck impact, which we have seen across the globe. And this is not only just for October, but what's expected is that this is only likely to peak in January next year.
In that the case, I mean, you mentioned supply chain, you mentioned energy, both of those, I mean, starkly are the big drivers. If those start to sort of resolve themselves early next year, January, then the inflation maybe is transitory and it does start to come down sort of during the maybe late first quarter, second quarter, or am I being overly optimistic?
No, I don't think it's about overly optimistic. Like I said, this was a big miss. So I think at this point it's anyone's guess in terms of what the impact is of the pandemic, number one, and then how eventually we get the supply chain issue sorted out. I think one of the bigger concerns also is the read-through to wages in the U.S. So yeah. What are employees going to start saying to employers, you know, we need a wage increase to align with this inflationary increase. So I don't know if it will complete itself by second quarter next year. It may be a longer haul than that.
I know exactly what I would be saying in a wage negotiation. I want 6.5%. Let's bring it back home. Vodacom announced two deals yesterday. One is a sort of local restructuring of fiber assets with Dark Fiber Africa, Vumatel, Vodacom and the like. The bigger one perhaps, or certainly in terms of value, was the move into Egypt. And I quite like it. They're buying the Vodafone business in Egypt. It gives them a new market, a big market, 100 million people, and kind of takes them away from being perhaps a boring, mature stock because they're mostly SA.
No, completely. I think, first of all, the market reaction was positive at by close of business yesterday, we were up 2.87% for Vodacom. And as you've mentioned, you know, in Egypt, Vodafone is currently the market leader at 40%. And also, more importantly, this deal is value accretive for Vodacom from the get-go. So the indication is that it's likely to contribute about 15% of Vodacom's current earnings. However, it is sort of a convoluted transaction. So this will, because of the funding, which is 80% equity for this deal, this will increase Vodafone's holding in Vodacom to about 65.1%. But it doesn't seem to be that there's a negative reaction to that.
I actually hadn't thought of that. Of course, equity, so that then increases. And it does give them, you know, MTN's always been sort of the higher growth, Vodacom the little more boring one, you know, but maybe a better yield. It kind of moves it up that curve and perhaps starts to give MTN a bit more run for its money in terms of profit growth going forward?
Absolutely. I think this is going to put Vodacom in the running to might probably be the one of the bigger, or if not the biggest, service provider in Africa. So let's see how that plays out. We'll see what happened to the share prices over year to date, or even the last 18 months. MTN has far superseded Vodacom in many aspects, and specifically in share price movement.
We'll leave that there. That's Carmen Mapawani, Portfolio Manager, Absa Asset Management. And that's our poll today, asking you on our LinkedIn and Twitter. This potentially does actually say to Vodacom, hey, we're going to start becoming a little more aggressive in terms of growth. Your question, our question is, does this set them up as a challenger to MTN as a growth telco? Have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting with Martin Ackerman, Citadel Chief Economist. Martin, always appreciate your early morning time. We've got our midterm budget policy statement later today. It really, my sense of it, it's an update on February's budget announcement, not really a big announcement day, which we do more see in those February updates.
Yes, good morning, Simon. Yeah, it's normally the medium-term budget is, like you say, just an update. But this time around, it's slightly different because I think that update is going to look a lot better than what we had in February. And it is also the maiden speech for our new Minister of Finance. So all eyes will be on him in terms of any indication that he can give us in terms of policy going forward, his ideas in terms of reforms implemented and get the economy going. So from that point of view, yeah, it is actually an important day.
Yeah, I take your point on that, and I want to come to the things are looking better than we expected in February, but your point on, I mean, previous Minister Tito Mboweni, he was really very prudent with his policies. He was looking to stimulate business growth, grow fiscus and the like. Do we expect the new minister to broadly follow in the footsteps of Minister Mboweni?
I think so. You know, in terms of his thinking, and he's been very much part of the economic restructuring plan and the economic policies that's been put on the table. So their economic thinking and their policy thinking between the two of them is very similar. So I think at this point in time, it is very likely that we will continue with this kind of prudent approach, more policy towards getting business going. Not a lot of populist policies at this point in time. But, you know, the focus will pretty much be on this bit of a tailwind we had and the fact that our revenue numbers are looking better. What are we going to do with that? I think the answer will lie in that. You know, are we just going to spend that additional income, or will we try and keep and save that for a rainy day? Because we do know, you know, after this tailwind of strong commodity run we had this year, going into next year and the year thereafter, you know, there's some challenges ahead as well.
Yeah, the commodity boom never lasts. And you, I mean, yeah, we are in better shape. We've got more revenue. We're getting better growth than the minister had expected back in February. Our growth expectations do keep on getting upgraded for the year. But we've already been spending some of that money. I mean, we've been doing the 350 Rand social grants and the like. I mean, we're kind of dipping into that windfall, which you estimated about an extra 120 billion, if I'm correct.
Yes, yeah. So a couple of things. So in February, you know, the expected growth was around 3, despite the unrest we had in July, and unfortunately now all the load shedding. We'll see what that impact is going to be. But the current number for the year is around about 5. So that's a significant improvement. Then on top of that, obviously the economy is doing much better. You know, all tax collection increase. So we have quite a tailwind on the personal tax that came in. But more specifically, you know, back to the commodities, with the global economy opening up, our mining companies doing extremely well on the back of high commodity prices. They really contributed to the fiscus. So, you know, revenue also looked much better. The deficit is smaller. We had the adjustment of the GDP numbers, which is actually, you know, that's just a statistical thing. But nevertheless, because of the economy being 11% bigger, everything that we measure now against that, like our debt to GDP, is also looking better. So yes, better revenue expected, and you're 100% right. You know, on the expense side, there were expenses like the social grants that continued, but government also tried to cut back. You know, we've looked at some of the wage negotiations that went on and the agreements that's been put in place there. But the reality is, back to my point, what are they going to do with that additional saving? And I think a prudent approach, and what we would like to see, is to say, well, we're not just going to spend all of that right now for short-term gain, but we are going to use some of that to help us through the next couple of years, where growth is certainly going to slow. And as a result of that, the fiscus is going to be under strain again.
Yeah, that rainy day, 100%. I mean, in the good times, put some aside. A quick last question. There had been talk, although it seems to have perhaps quietened down a bit, about giving investors early access to their Reg 28 pension funds. Is that something we might hear more about today, or would that perhaps more be a February statement, or is that perhaps just off the table?
Yeah, you're 100% right. That went a bit quiet. You know, it's a huge topical debate, because, you know, how do you do that, and who have the right to access that? And I think from a government point of view, you know, if you don't do it in a controlled fashion, then you actually increase the liability again, that, you know, at retirement, or as the population gets closer to retirement, there might be a liability for government, because if the savings being used earlier on. So, yeah, I think unlikely at this point in time. But again, you know, those kind of announcements typically only happen in February. So if anything today, an update, and then, yeah, maybe just sowing the seed in terms of what we can expect in terms of major changes. But the detail of that will definitely only be in the February budget.
We'll leave that there, Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist at Citadel. Appreciate the time this morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Revix founder Sean Saunders. Sean, appreciate the time. My headline here says Bitcoin goes through R1 million per coin. Of course, it did, and then it came back. It's now 989,490. Wow, that number's changing. Call it 990,000. It's not a, you know, it is a significant psychological number. Suddenly, your Bitcoin, if you have one, is now worth R1 million. That is monster.
Oh, yeah. No, morning, Simon. There's been a lot of growth in the crypto space. I mean, even with the small pullback that's occurred, you're still sitting with a cryptocurrency market that's worth $2.8 trillion. I mean, just to put that in context, the entire listed market cap of all the JSE listed companies comes to $1.1 trillion as things stand now. So you're literally looking at the cryptocurrency market being 2.8 times larger than the entire publicly listed space in South Africa. And just to provide a bit more context, if that's not enough, the entire private market in South Africa, so that's all the private companies, their total value is estimated to be roughly around the same, about $1 trillion as well. So the cryptocurrency market is still a good one third larger than the entire company market value cap in South Africa, which is quite something.
Yeah, I remember going back a decade, Simon Dingle wrote an article in Finweek. At the same time, I had a friend who was a cryptologist at UKZN, and they were both talking about it at $1. And the, you know, we were talking then, we were saying, oh, this could go to $1,000, you know, maybe even $2,000. I mean, it's plus 60,000. It has, in some senses, from a price perspective, exceeded those early expectations, I think.
Oh, it has. You know, this is another crazy sort of story that I share with a lot of our prospective customers and our current customers, is that once upon a time when I entered the crypto space, and that was roughly around late 2013, early 2014, Bitcoin was trading at that point in time. And this was sort of, you know, while there was a lot of controversy around Silk Road and all the rest. Bitcoin was trading at $88. And I remember that number clearly. And I remember saying to myself, oh my gosh, I've missed out. You know, this has gone from, at that point, it went from $11 through to $120 and then pulled back to $88. And that's when I got in. And I remember being like, my gosh, I've missed out. This is insane. Like, this has been a huge growth in this market. And now you look back and you're like, oh, $88 versus, what is it, $64,600 today? I mean, that's the kind of growth that you get with startups, right? So VCs get this growth when they invest in early stage businesses. And it's this asymmetric risk versus return opportunity that exists in crypto. Remember, you can lose 100% of your investment. I mean, it doesn't matter which investment you're going into. But the opportunity and the upside when it comes to cryptocurrencies, just like startups, are really significant. And I think just, you know, something else just to add to that point as well is we've had a big run in the crypto space. You know, it may be prudent to take profits. It may be prudent as well, you know, not to run out and FOMO into this market. But the opportunity that sits ahead isn't just $2.8 trillion, right? It's not $3 trillion. It's not $10 trillion. I mean, you're looking essentially at a new monetary system that's going to exist alongside the current system. That, in my mind, you know, is closer to the $100 trillion mark than the $10 trillion mark. Obviously, that's not financial advice, but that's what you've got to look ahead at and get excited about.
And I like your point. These are essentially startups that typically, you know, me and my listeners and we don't have access to. Suddenly we do. And you make the point about this has become an ecosystem. And we've talked, and after we chatted around Solana a month or so back, I went and dug, and it occurred to me, yes, we focus on the price, but what I'm starting to focus on, particularly with Solana and some of the others, is I'm actually looking at the tech building on it, because that tech is what's going to be so important into the future. If, let's say, none of the tech on Solana works, well, then that's a busted coin. If that tech starts gaining traction and becoming widely adopted, that's what's going to drive that particular a token.
Exactly. I think people must remember that cryptocurrencies are protocols, i.e. fancy names for programs, and programs get upgraded. And this is the interesting thing to look at right now. You've got these things called layer two solutions. So just, you know, sort of ways to make blockchains a little bit more scalable. Lots of jargon in the blockchain space, as we all know. And Bitcoin is looking to do some of the stuff that Ethereum is looking to do using some of these side chains. Ethereum is looking to do a lot of what you're seeing in Solana, Polkadot, and all the rest. All these cryptocurrencies are sort of trying to vie with each other for sort of blockchain supremacy. Now, you may end up, and I'm fast forwarding now, say 20 or 30 years, with one superhighway blockchain, right? Maybe that's Bitcoin. And that means that you build all these applications on top of Bitcoin. Bitcoin's, you know, really slow at the moment in terms of how fast it would be upgraded. To continue with that analogy, if you then look at the likes of Ethereum, I mean, Ethereum is going through an upgrade as we speak, and hopefully within the next 12 months will be upgraded and be able to handle more transactions per second. Then, as you mentioned, you've got Solana, Cardano, Polkadot, you know, all sort of all these third generation blockchains that are now vying for supremacy. And this has resulted in Bitcoin losing market share from roughly, go back 24 months, 75% of the entire cryptocurrencies market was sitting in Bitcoin, and that's down to 43% today. So the rest of the market seems to be making ground on Bitcoin.
Yeah, and hence the baskets. I always said, if folks say to me they want to buy Bitcoin, I'm like, yeah, buy a basket. But yeah, catch them all. You get some polka dots and all the others in there as well. We'll leave that there. Sean Saunders, founder at Revix, appreciate the time this morning. That's the show for today. Our poll yesterday, always on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles, we're asking about that midterm budget policy statement that comes out later today. Your expectations, good, bad, or bleak? And just over about 12% of you were saying, yeah, it's going to be good. 3/4 of you were saying it's going to be bleak. And just over 10% of you said, you know what, actually, all that extra money, give it to Eskom. We need our lights back on. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Nabokhle, and Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.